This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Yo, 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 and welcome back to... I was holding my breath so hard. Yo, 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 and welcome back to Creeps and Crimes
Podcast.
I'm Taylor.
I'm Morgan. Happy Thursday and happy episode 184.
184.
Yeah, you're right. I got that right first.
She got it right. Yep.
No one prepped me, and we definitely haven't recorded this twice. Today is a day all about dreams, people.
Dreams. What's that song from Shark Boy and Lava Girl?
Oh.
Dream, dream.
Dreams, dreams. I'm literally made
dream,
that up.
Dream.
I have no idea.
What is
I need
that?
To watch that again. I feel like oh I my seen God. It in so long.
Yeah, okay, anyways.
Anyways, but I want to tell you guys about a dream that I had the other night. Okay. But before I do that, I have to tell you about my morning.
Yes.
So I wake up. It's 5:44. I'm laying in bed. Shoot up. Straight up. I have to be there in 16 minutes.
Got to go.
So I get up. I'm getting dressed while I'm on the toilet.
No.
And then I'm brushing my teeth. And I grab my bag. I grab my badge, my car keys, and I head out the door. I open the door, and as I'm walking out, the door gets stuck, and I smash, like, this side of my head into the corner of the door.
No.
Like, it's opening while I'm walking up, and it stops.
No.
Like, I thought it'd open all the way. And immediately, I felt tingles, like, all around my face. Like, it hit that sweet spot.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the fuck? I look down. The pair of shoes that I told Aaron to pick up last night acted as a door stopper.
No.
So I opened the door. They got stuck on the shoes. I smashed my face into the door.
I would have ripped it out of
bed. I looked down. I said, that motherfucker.
Ellen!
I slammed the door shut, slammed the screen door shut, run out to work. Finally, like, a couple hours go by, and, like, my head honestly has been kind of hurting all day. Like, it just hit the wrong spot, you know? Like,
it, like, feels like it's bleeding. You, like, have a panic attack, like, oh my God, am I bleeding?
Yeah, like, yeah. I was in pain.
That's real forehead chills.
I'm like, I'm going to look at the Ring camera, see if I got any footage of it. I don't have any footage of it, but you see me turning around, pissed as fuck. I'm, like, elbowing the door shut, pushing it away, and I'm stomping off. I'm so mad. Anyway, boys... Pick up your shoes.
Move the fucking shoes.
Before I have to hurt all of you.
My favorite thing about Logan is that he just leaves all his shoes outside to get stolen.
Yeah, he does do that.
And he's like, I don't want to bring them inside. I'm like, well, we don't have a fence up here. They're going to be stolen. So at least just bring them inside the door and let me get ran into the door instead of having to buy 30 pairs of fucking Hokas. That'd be nice.
Right. Because we just leave them out on the porch.
Luckily, they haven't been stolen.
Every time I come
though.
Over, though, there is always a new fresh pair of shoes out
fresh
there.
Fresh pair of shoes. Yeah. And they've never been stolen. So if you know where I live, literally don't.
Don't steal the shoes.
Do not fucking steal the shoes. Especially not the flip-flops. We've already gone through that once. They broke, and I thought his life was going to be over. He's a Florida boy at heart. Gotta keep
I was really milking my story today, though, to my boss. I was like, hey, I think I have a concussion. I'm not feeling well. I'd love to leave early. And she's looking at me like this.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, I'm just kidding. But it's definitely going to hurt tomorrow if you wouldn't mind just like letting me do a half day.
You should have made a TikTok and been like, I have been a victim of the Knoxville puncher, like the NYC puncher that's going on right now. But it's just your fucking door.
That's my door.
It's just your fucking door.
I did. I had a big red mark. I thought for sure I was going to bruise or hive up.
But wait,
I didn't.
Can we talk about that? The New York puncher? Like, what the
fuck? I actually don't know what that is.
Okay, get this. This is crazy. In the last, like, 3 days, about 18 girls have been coming on TikTok with welts on their face because they were walking, looking down at their phone, and this random person runs up and socks them in their fucking face.
Because they're looking at their
phone. A man. And it's been a man in every situation. Sometimes it's someone who's, like, clearly, like, not okay, like, dealing with something and, like, needs help. And then at other times, it's, like, a well-dressed dude with a fucking dog just on a walk, and he just, like, punches them in the face.
Yeah, I saw one video about it. No, I didn't know it was, like, an epidemic.
There's a whole, like, write-up on it. It was on the fucking news.
No way.
Yeah, dude. It's getting, like, really concerning because now other people obviously are, like, copycatting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The New York puncher.
The New York puncher is going on right now. It's not really called the it's the NYC puncher is what like TikTok's calling it.
Yeah.
But like there is a certain name for it. I don't know what it is.
That is nuts.
But what in the fucking hell?
It's like, I think, well, they're probably like pissed off at our generation for always having our heads in our phones.
But they're like younger people too. Like,
maybe they listen to their parents too much. Yeah.
Just abusers.
Fucked up people. Yeah,
fucked up people.
So you want to hear about my dream?
Mm-hmm.
So two nights ago, I have this dream and I didn't remember it until my sister sent me a picture of Augie, who is her son, her baby, on his blanket had like animals on it, or like it was like an elephant or something. And I was like, holy fuck, my dream last night. And everything came back to me
all
dude,
at once.
All at once. So I'm typing out this text. So this is my dream. My family and I go on a vacation. And I want to say Vietnam,
okay,
because I remember like vividly like being like, guys, we're in Vietnam, like quit acting like fucking fools. Like I was so mad at my whole family. So this is like my mom, my dad, yeah, Marley, Pearly, Augie, me, Aaron, Sarah, Mitchell. We're all on vacation.
Right.
And we get into like this like fun house scenario, mm-hmm, situation. And in the fun house, it wasn't a fun house, but it was like the like loading dock to get on this boat.
Okay.
And we were going on this tiny, like almost like raft canoe type of boat.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going to just go down the stream of this river, but you had to get into this fun house. So we all get on the boat. I'm holding Augie. And I mean, this boat is skinny as fuck.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's two boats going on.
Yeah.
This one is the girls, the boys are in the other.
Oh my God.
We get out onto this.
The weight distribution's not proper.
I know. We get onto this murky ass river and the rapids are crazy.
Okay.
Okay. So like the river is completely brown and like dark brown. Like you can't even see anything about it. And it is fast. You're moving fast as fuck. My sister, Marley, sees up ahead of her a crocodile. And she's like, oh my God, a crocodile, jumps in the water.
No.
Flipping over the boat. I lose Augie in the water. So I'm searching around, like touching like the ground of this river, getting swallowed up by the rapids. I find him. He's like, just like baby, like eyeball up, you know? And I'm holding him, like we're flowing through this river, dude. I'm holding Augie above my head and I see my sister. She is like squared up with this crocodile. Like it's standing on its hind legs. And I just remember seeing it, like its pointy nose, like Lyle crocodile. Like literally that was a crocodile in my dream. The guy from the movie.
Yeah.
It's standing up and they're like dancing, like going down the rapids.
I'm sorry, what?
Like they're playing with the crocodiles and everybody is now playing with the crocodiles. Meanwhile, I'm drowning.
With Augie
above
your head.
I'm holding him above my head and his neck is darting into the waves. Because he can't keep his neck up.
Oh my
God. So he is like, if the waves on this side, he would dart that way, like, and smash his head into the water.
Oh my God.
And so I'm screaming. I'm like, help. Like, stop doing that. It's a crocodile. Stay away. Like, I'm begging everyone to stay away
from
the crocodile.
Stop dancing with the fucking crocodile.
Finally, somehow we get to like an embankment.
Yeah.
And I'm doing CPR on Augie in my dream.
Oh my God.
And water is coming out of his mouth. Like, this is crazy, guys.
This is awful.
It is horrible. And I'm screaming at my sister.
Who's still dancing with the crocodile?
No, she's back. Everyone's back on. They're like, that was so fun, guys. Like, no one is paying attention to me. Like, it was like I wasn't even there and neither was Augie. And I'm having to give him CPR. He's back up. He's good. Like, yeah. I get him revived.
You get back.
I get him back. Water, you know, like, it was like so crazy.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I'm screaming at everybody. And my sister comes over, scoops up Augie, and she was like, he's fucking fine, Morgan, relax. And I was like, oh my God. So I abandoned the family and I was like, you know what? I'll venture out. Like, even Aaron was with them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm just going to send them and I'm leaving them. I'm not doing this. I'm going to send them a nasty text on our family group chat. So I'm on my phone and I'm sending this big text to a group chat who I think is just my siblings, their significant others, and my parents.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, we almost lost him. No one cared. I almost drowned. Nobody cared. You guys are too busy with the crocodiles. We're literally in Vietnam. You guys are acting like fucking fools. Send this big, long text. Turns out it's in a family group chat with like all 50 of my cousins.
Oh, no.
I have a lot of cousins. Literally 27 on one side.
Yeah.
So all of my cousins are in there. And like my sister's texting back. My little brother's texting back. And my cousins are like liking their texts, like everyone is against me. And I was like, fuck this. And then I woke up.
What?
Like cousins, I have cousins that are like 40 years old. They're in this group. I hardly talk to them. They're in this group chat and they're liking like my sister's texts and my brother's texts.
I'm so mad for you right now.
I am so mad. So I text this all out. So that's the end of the dream. I wake up. I think there was more to it. I do remember like being back in the fun house and like a playground and like trying to find them, trying to talk to mm-hmm. someone, but like no one would talk to me.
Yeah.
Then I was like alone in Vietnam. And anyway, so I send this all out to my sister and this is what she says. Not me gaslighting you in the dream.
I'm like, okay, not Marley not being emotional about it. Like, oh my God. Instead, Marley's like, LOL, I'm dancing with a crocodile. Sounds like
you
me.
Would do it too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, that's just hilarious. In case anyone tries to take this out of context at all, my sister is a good mother. Yo, this was a dream, a crazy dream.
This is
dream.
A dream.
A nightmare.
I swear to God, I will literally light someone's house on fire if they even fucking
try to take this
that.
Out of context.
I swear to God. I will commit arson. Are you shitting me?
I have crazy dreams. I dream every single night.
This is
nothing.
Nothing compared to the shit that this bitch has dreamed before, all right? Yeah.
So anyway, that was my dream.
That's crazy, dude.
Yeah.
I haven't had a dream since we were on fucking vacation. That was the last dream I've had.
Tell them about your tsunami dream.
So I had a water dream, but it's just, I don't, like, there's not a lot of detail in it. The detail was, is that I was like, it looked like it was in Boston or like an old, old town that's on the water, but mm-hmm. not like Greece or Italy or anything like that. Think like American buildings, mm-hmm. Main Street, USA. I'm there with my mom and my two little sisters, but my two little sisters are like young. They're like elementary school, but me and my mom are like our current ages.
Yeah.
So I'm seeing them like kids. We're like in this like market square situation beside a fountain and we're like kind of arguing back and forth about something. I don't know what it was, but we're arguing with each other and we hear like people screaming and it starts flooding and it's just like a little tiny wave and we're like, what the fuck is going on? And so we like start running because everyone's running and screaming and people are like shutting doors to these tall like skyscrapers and like and not letting people in. And then as I turn and I look back because I still don't know what we're running from. And I see another wave and it's like tripled in size. And behind it is another wave that's bigger and bigger.
Oh my God.
And one at a time, these waves are coming in. They weren't necessarily like big, like 1,000-foot tsunami waves that you see like, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
It was like just repetitive, just filling up with water. And we're trying to like climb up statues. And we're like, no, we can't be on the statue. We have to go into a building that's super tall. Like we got to go get in. There was a couple in front of us. And I'm like the whole time, this is like what fucking got me is, I'm trying to, mom's holding Phoebe and I'm holding Lola, but Lola's fighting me to get down and walk. And remember in the stream, they're kids to me, like babies.
Yeah.
And I'm like fighting Lola and I'm screaming at my mom, you have to take Lola from me. I'm going to drop her. She's fighting me too hard.
She's darting her neck into the waves.
Literally what it was. And so I hand, me and mom switch and I get Phoebe and I throw Phoebe on my back and I like had like a scarf and I just tied it around her so she could like be attached to me no matter what. I'm like getting emotional talking about it because I was thinking like if I get knocked over by this wave, like at least like she'll be tied to me mm-hmm. and I can feel her on me. That's all that I need to know. And I'm yelling at my mom to take her scarf off because it was cold and tie it on herself and with Lola around and she can't hear me. And as we're screaming this, a woman in front of us, it's a couple running, screams back at us and she says, come in here. And there, she's like, it's like a hidden door in the side of this like parking garage that we're all running up. Her and her husband ran an illegal underground abortion clinic because whatever state we were in, what it was illegal to have an abortion. This is in today's time. Like, yeah. I'm dreaming that it's right now. And I'm like, oh my God, it's so nice to meet you. She's a researcher.
You're like, I would love to have you on.
I would love to have you on the podcast.
It's so nice to meet you. Your work is amazing. I've heard all about you.
Yeah, literally. And she like, but I remember in the dream, I remember her telling me, I guess it's because of everything that's going on with Mifepristone right now in the Senate. And she was telling me like, she told me her name and I recognized her from like research and like going and like basically testifying. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm meeting you. This is bad circumstances. But anyway, she's like, me and my husband have this clinic up here. It's hidden so that way no one can ever find it. It's been used since the 1800s and it's been passed down through these generations. And da-da-da. And she's like, tell me all this as we're running up it, right? And we're running and water's filling in. And my mom's tripping, holding Lola.
Oh my God.
So I'm like taking Lola off of her and I put Lola on my front because my mom was just really tired and she's got a bad knee. And I was like, trying to pull my mom in front of me and I'm pushing her, but Phoebe's on my back, Lola's on my front. Phoebe's slipping the entire time. So we get up to the top and finally we're just like breathing and we see this big wave and we all literally like are staring at each other and we're like, this is gonna take us out 100%. And then I woke up.
Dude, tsunamis are scary. I've never had a tsunami dream, but I've had like we're on like a sand dune and like big giant like 300-foot waves are crashing down like over and over again, but like they're not touching us, and then like one's coming in hot and like we're getting sucked back out. Like I've had dreams like that.
What's crazy is I've never had a tsunami dream, but my mom has tsunami dreams reoccurring. Mm-hmm. Like ever since she was a little girl, she's always dreamed about tsunamis. So when I woke up in Jamaica when I had this dream, I immediately called my mom and I was like, I just had your dream.
Yeah.
I just had your dream today. And she's like, oh my God, you got to get back here.
Yeah. I was on the phone with my mom telling her about, well, just talking to her about my, mm-hmm. you know,
about your fucking crocodile
dream, my Lao Lao crocodile. And she was like, I just don't dream. I guess I just don't get in deep enough sleep. And my dad's back there. He's like, I dream every fucking night.
Well, that's where you get it from.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. I didn't know that. I just found that out.
I don't know if Lola dreams. I know Phoebe has crazy dreams. Phoebe, when Phoebe was little, she'd wake up. We'd wake up. Okay, like me and my mom and Phoebe would sleep together some nights. Phoebe would be in either mom's pants or my pants. She would like put herself as close to you as possible, like a kangaroo, and like tuck herself in.
Aww. I used to sleep with my head on my mom's stomach and my feet on my dad's belly.
Yep.
I would lay like that.
That's just the most comfortable.
And they're like, really? They're like, you're nine.
I did that.
Get out of the room.
I did that, but with my fucking big doll Susie beside me. Just a plastic fucking doll on the bed. Fucking 3 foot. Like just me and my fucking
Taylor's
doll.
Blow up.
My literal blow up. No, she was a giant Barbie. Where the hell is the remote, man? Oh, it's
I don't know,
there.
But let's get into this.
Yeah, let's get into this. Dreams. Thank you so much to everyone that sent us in. And hey, if this is your first episode that you're ever listening to and you're like, what the fuck is Creepy Accounts? So Creepy Accounts is where you send in your story to us and we read it on here. And sometimes we request themes. This one's the hot commodity. This is the best thing that we've ever done. But it's just your stories that are creepy, crimey, you know, paranormal, true crime, conspiracy, alien abduction, seeing weird shit. You just need to get off your fucking chest. You need a bestie. That is literally what Creepy Accounts is. And if you have one, you could send it in to creepsandcrimes.ca@gmail.com. We just ask that you tell us if we can use your name and your pronouns. Thank you.
Thanks. If you're driving, throw that shit on cruise control.
If you got a glass, pour that shit up.
And let's get creepy.
Okay.
Alrighty, so the first one we have is from Bailey using she, her pronouns. The title is Yo, 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 Bitches, Dream Creepy Account for April.
Hell yeah.
Thank you, Bailey.
You got us, Bailey.
My dudes, it's only taken me 4 seasons to write in a creepy account. Yeah. OG pick me here. I found you two toward the end of season 1. Immediately knew we were besties, and I have been here since.
Oh my God.
My name, that's so sweet.
That's so
my long. Name is Bailey, she, her pronouns, and you can absolutely use my name. I am a 27-year-old living in Waverly, Ohio. Pike County, more specifically. Yes, Pike County, as in the Pike County Massacre, about an hour from the Athens Asylum. Mm. Corrupt county sheriff that went to prison while in office, that I was a 911 dispatcher for at the time.
Oh.
10 minutes from the atomic plant in Piketon that my sister has worked at for 12 years, and the town that they found a woman that was killed by her grandson and put into a barrel and hidden, and 20 minutes south of where the 7 vanishing women, honestly just a disaster of a town.
Yeah, move.
So Waverly, Ohio, if anyone lives there, you guys should probably
you should run
away.
For your lives. What the hell,
holy shit. Okay, so I have tons of creepy shit happen to me what feels like all the time, but since this is all about dreams, there is no better time than now to tell you all about it. So okay. Buckle in. My sister and I have been inseparable ever since I can remember. We voluntarily shared a room growing up, and don't get me wrong, we still had fights, and most of our childhood we didn't have a door on our room because we slammed it so much when we fought, but nonetheless, we still were BFFs. My parents never did that, took the door off. That's one thing they didn't do.
No, my parents never
I knew a lot
that.
Of people that did, though.
I think the hassle of it was what deterred my parents.
Yeah, we didn't have locks on our door, though. That,
we had locks.
We had no locks, and we were deprived of ceiling fans.
Okay, I had ceiling fans, and I had locks.
No ceiling fans
but
in there, my house.
But my mom always had a key, so when I would lock the door...
She just bust her ass right
Yeah,
now.
Are you joking? Yeah. Took 2 seconds. But if she jiggled on it once, I'd get my ass up so
I remember,
quick.
Like, being threatened one time. No, I don't think I ever was threatened for the door.
I feel like it was probably a threat at some point. Like, I was being bad, and my mom was like, I'm literally going to take your fucking door off. And I was like, excuse me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I know my mom was like, I'm not fucking putting that door back
up. I'm not gonna take that off and put it back on. Like, absolutely not.
That would look so bad in my house.
We literally did that with this door the day we were moving in.
That
everything.
Was horrible. And it was still fucked up.
And it still like covers our hands if you touch it for a little too long in oil. Like, yeah. So not
But I
worth
always
it.
Felt for the kids who did have the doors taken off. So, Bailey, I do feel for you.
I feel for you.
But y'all were BFFs and you're a sissy, so everything is good.
That's fine. But it was a threat of it that scared the shit out of me. I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh my God.
I'm like, how dare you? I should also mention that we have always been some creepy bitches. I remember getting off the bus and running into the house so we didn't miss the 4 p.m. episode of A Haunting, LOL. My aunt bought me a Ouija board one Christmas.
Oh.
What is she thinking?
What was she doing?
And she wanted to try it with me Christmas Day. And I had never used it after that. I hate myself for it now. I know. Believe me.
We'll forgive you.
We will forgive you.
You were totally led astray.
Yeah. Your aunt did you wrong.
She did you so dirty.
But everyone knew I had always been into the creepier things in life. So I don't remember what age my sister and I were, but I just remember one day we started talking about our dreams from the night before. We both have a horrible fear of snakes, and we started talking with my mom, and I told them I had a dream that I owned a black snake and had a pink cage for it.
Okay.
They both looked at me so weird, and my sister said, I just told mom my dream, and I owned a pink snake in a black cage.
Oh. Yin and yang.
Pink snake in a black cage, and hers was a black snake in a pink cage.
Yes.
We were shocked and wouldn't believe the other. Neither of us could really remember specific details about the dream, just the snake and the cage. For the next several years, we both saw that same snake and cage in our dreams randomly, and it was always on the same night. To this day, we both still have it randomly pop up in our dreams and, of course, still call each other as soon as we wake up to see if the other dreamed about it. 9 out of 10 times, it was always the same night. Crazy.
That's crazy.
That is so weird.
That is crazy.
Now for another. In high school, my sister and I were both power lifters.
Oh, shit, yeah.
In 2010-ish, when my sister was a sophomore or junior, she dropped a barbell with about 700 pounds on two of her fingers. Oh, my God.
I would have jumped out of my fucking body. I broke my toe the other day running into the door, and I'm still not over it.
Yeah. I can't even imagine. She says, obviously, it demolished them. The surgeons were able to reattach the top part of the one that came completely off, so she still has most of both of her fingers, but she was okay, and it could have been a lot worse. A few days after the accident, our family was supposed to be leaving to go to the beach, and my sister was on lots of pain pills, so she was totally cool with us still going. We get to the hotel, and she tries to sleep the first night, and she starts sobbing and shaking, absolutely terrified. She woke up me and my mom saying that there was a man on the ceiling with no face and only a mouth, and he was slobbering all over her.
Shut the fuck up.
This continued every night. So when we got home, we were hoping it would stop and just thought maybe it was a lot for her to be in a different place after the accident and on all the medication. We go to sleep on our first night home and she sleeps all night. We wake up the next morning in our shared bedroom and she says she didn't see the man on the ceiling, but she did see something different. It was a woman in a white nightgown and she came into our bedroom and sat at the head of my bed and played with my hair.
No.
Obviously, I'm pissed. Like, you're really just gonna let some psycho in our room and touch me and not wake me up? So she tells me that she would wake me up when she sees her again. Fast forward to maybe 1 a.m. the following night, and Brianna whispers to me, Bailey, she's here.
No.
I have chills. I'm facing the wall and I freeze. Do I turn over? Do I just pretend she didn't just say what she wanted to say? Like, what do I do? So I say, what's she doing? And Brianna replies, she's just playing with your hair.
No.
Immediately, I would have regretted too. Wake me up if you see her next time. Wakes you up. What do I do? Do I look? I didn't want to know. I didn't actually want to know at all.
I would literally have fully ignored you, knowing that that's what you want me out for.
Actually.
Yeah, I would have been like, absolutely not. This is not fucking happening.
Like, I wanted to know, but I really didn't.
I really can't know.
Needless to say, when I thought I was tough shit the day before and told her to tell me when she's in our room again, I was obviously just a Lulu because I couldn't move. Ugh. I laid staring at the wall, absolutely frozen in fear the rest of the night. This continued every night until Brianna was off the pain pill. So obviously that's what it was, but what the fuck?
What the fuck?
So now on to my scary dream situation. I've always been a sleepwalker and a sleep talker. And I started having night terrors my junior year of high school. It started off small and I would wake up while putting on my shoes, getting dressed for school at 2 a.m. You know, harmless. Yeah.
Well, then there were two instances that really scared me. I woke up one night hanging out my window from my waist up.
I'm sorry, what the fuck?
Don't worry, it was a one-story house, so it's not like I would have gotten seriously injured if I were to fall, but still scary.
Terrifying.
I literally had gotten out of bed, moved my bed away from the window, unlocked it, opened it, and I was just chilling.
Were you taking like fucking Ambien?
Seriously. Another little incident that was scary was one night I woke up to a little shock because I had ripped the cord out of my bedside lamp. And apparently wanted to inspect the cord like Bob the Dam Builder or something, all while it's still plugged into the wall.
Bitch, you're dangerous.
Needless to say, when graduation came and my parents knew that I was moving to Manhattan for cosmetology school, they were terrified of me sleepwalking out of my apartment.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Okay, thank God.
And nothing ever happened, but it was a nerve-wracking time for sure.
Yeah.
I do have one small guardian angel thing I would like to share, so lighten the mood. In my sophomore year of high school, my best friend passed away from cancer. She had been battling it for about 3 years.
Oh, no.
It was really hard to watch your best friend as a 15-year-old go through something like that. After she passed, we laughed because she had always told us she would haunt the shit out of us and mess with us constantly so we would know it was her.
Wow.
The day I started my first job, about a month after she passed, I was clocking in to be a hostess at a steakhouse, and the song we played at her funeral came on.
Mm.
I knew that was her telling me to calm my ass down.
Aw.
Her favorite colors were green, orange, and purple. Now I see those colors everywhere. When my wife proposed, we got back the photos and realized that all the flowers in the garden surrounding us were green, purple, and orange.
Oh my God.
We went wedding dress shopping, and the first boutique we walked into had a huge bouquet of green, purple, and orange flowers on the table.
Oh.
Her saying anytime she went in for a new treatment or a procedure or anything that any of us were worried about, she always instantly replied with, "Guys, come on. I've got this."
Oh.
Well, over the last few years, my wife and I have been trying to start a family, and we were in our doctor's office for one of our IUIs. And we were put into a room that we hadn't been in before, and I look at the wall, and there is a sign hanging that says, "You've got this."
I could cry my eyes out.
Her favorite animal was a turtle, and I swear I can be on my phone and go to my emojis, and the turtle emoji is on my recent, even though I haven't used it.
She's getting crafty.
If I'm having a rough day, I can almost guarantee I will hear one of her songs, see her favorite colors, or something turtle related. Guardian angels are for sure real, and everyone needs to hear a little heartwarming story like that every now and again. Okay, that's all for now. I've attached some photos of me and my sister, one of her accident. I need to see that. Not to be morbid.
Yeah.
And also pics of my bestie and some moment of her showing off her green, orange, and purple. Keep killing it, ladies. Love ya. P.S. I've also attached some screenshots of crazy news articles from my area.
Wait, so did you attach the fingerless pictures?
That's what I'm hoping for.
We have to go look right now.
Not that I'm hoping for that, but I am.
Actually. I mean, I like I'm kind of interested.
I really like kind of seeing that stuff.
Yeah.
What is that? A CA email?
Yeah. Yeah, sorry to talk like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's the you got this.
Oh.
And the proposal.
Oh, you took a picture with all the you got this. Oh my God, the flowers. You're so right. They're like in the Oh my God. Oh my God. You guys are so fucking cute.
Oh my gosh, the X-ray. It's gone. The top part of the finger is gonzo.
Oh. It's not there. Oh, you and your sister.
Oh, I love these pictures.
I love getting... Everyone send pictures of your whole family like this.
Not really. Don't blow up our email with that. But yeah. If you're writing a story...
If you're writing a story and it's...
I need pictures of everything.
Yeah. Oh my God, the finger. I literally can't...
That's awesome. Not for your sister.
In this pic, you can see how crooked her middle finger is. It's because it wasn't put on 100% straight. You're so right.
Yeah.
Oh my God. But it looks so normal, though. Like, if you never would have told me that, I never would have, like, known this story.
Yeah.
Like, there's not even, like, a scar or anything.
Yeah, it looks really good.
And I love that pink color, to be honest. Remember last year this time I had pink?
Yeah.
I think I might have to go back.
Thank you so much, Bailey, for sharing that.
Oh, thank you so much, Bailey. And thank you so much for the pics.
And I'm so sorry that your sister woke you up, too.
She's betting your head. Call the police.
She's here.
Call the Ghostbusters.
Who are you going to call?
Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters.
Right now.
Ghostbusters.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Bailey. The next one that we have is from Amanda using she, her pronouns. And the title is Nightmare in Paris.
Ooh.
Is this a Netflix show? Emily in Paris. Amanda in Paris. Hey besties, I'm Amanda with she, her pronouns. I'm an American living in Paris with my French husband.
Ooh.
And listening to your podcast helps me feel connected to home, especially when I'm homesick. I feel your compassion and open-heartedness in everything that you gals discuss. So thank you both for that and for making us listeners feel like we're a part of it. It's hard to choose just one nightmare because I've had vivid dreams my whole life. I usually remember my dreams in the most minute detail, which is unfortunate whenever I have a nightmare. One dream that I had recently was particularly disturbing. If the dream had a genre, it would be body horror. Here it is. I'm going to write in the present tense, like we tell stories in French, to emphasize the immediacy. I'm in a place that feels like a cross between the university campus where my brother is studying medicine and a random resort. There are outdoor pools and also buildings where people are studying and researching. My brother is in a lab with a group of other doctors studying the strain of a dangerous parasite. He asked me to deliver a test tube with a sample of the parasite from their lab to another building. I take this test tube in a bag and I start walking across the pool deck and the greasy lawns to get to the other building where I'm supposed to deliver it. Suddenly, I feel the bag with the test tube brush against my leg and tip over. I realize that I have been contaminated.
Oh my God.
I hear the voices of the lab researchers yelling that this parasite is extremely dangerous to humans and that it could potentially take over my body. As I keep walking to deliver the test tube, I start to feel tiny little centipedes crawling inside me.
Oh my God.
Then they start, sorry, this part is gross, they start coming out of my butt. Oh my God.
Immediately no.
In my dream mind's eye, I can see inside my body and I see the parasites doubling, tripling, and becoming more and more numerous by the second. My brother runs out of the lab, sees me, and immediately shouts, "Come with me." He pulls me down a path to a building that looks from the outside like a Moroccan-style bathhouse made of clay. He pushes me inside saying, "Try to rinse them all out. That's the only way to survive this." I rush inside and stumble into a shower. Its walls are made of clay and it's dimly lit by an opening in the ceiling. I can hear the voices of my mom and dad outside who arrive and talk with my brother about what could happen to me. Inside the shower, warm water starts showering down on me and the little parasites start pouring out of my orifices. They pour out of my body in millions and wash down the drain. I feel relieved that I can get them out and I start to feel hope. Almost all the parasites are out of me before the few that are left in my guts start multiplying again. My hope is shattered. I realize that I cannot do any better than this, so I leave the shower desperate for someone to help me. I walk with my family across the grass and suddenly I'm alone and I feel the parasites rising inside of me until they reach my head and they start coming out of my skin through my pores. I tried to wipe off my skin, but they keep coming out. They've completely taken over me. Trying to escape the horror, I break through into lucidity and force myself awake. It took me over a day to shake this awful nightmare. Thank you so much for taking the time to read this. Hit me up if you come to Paris and I'll show you all the creepy spots. As we say in France, bisou, which means kisses.
Bisou.
Bisou. Thank you, Amanda. What the fuck, Amanda?
What the fuck, Amanda?
Amanda? What in the fuck?
That's terrifying.
Oh my God. Holy fuckaroni. Holy fucking centipede.
I feel like I'm wiping my face.
When you said the pores and the butthole. Oh.
And then pouring out of you in the shower, immediately
No. Oh my God. And that feeling, hope. You wrote that so good. I don't know if you're a writer. So you should be one.
That was so good.
That was so fucking good.
And so fucking scary.
I am not okay. You're just by yourself at the end and you feel them just take over you.
No, it's giving.
It's giving never run an errand for your brother.
It's giving. What's the show called?
The Last of Us.
It's giving The Last of Us.
It's giving The Last of Us.
Except they weren't coming through the pores, but that's what it's giving.
Oh my God.
Terrifying.
I'm sick. I'm so sick. That was crazy. Thank you so much.
Thank you for sharing that.
Amanda, that was crazy.
Woo. The next one is from David. He, him pronouns.
Hey, David.
Hey, David. The title is Dreams and Stories for Another Time. Hi, besties. David, he, him here again to answer the call for stories for another time and dream stories. I'm most likely late to the party, but I'm still recovering from you reading my creepy account on your podcast. I think my soul left my body the moment I heard you say David, and I knew it was me. You two are amazing, and since my other creepy account was so long, I'm just going to jump right into it. Again, feel free to skip any of the stories.
And he's like gone through and like titled them with their own
awesome.
Titles.
Awesome.
Iconic, David.
Mother in Waiting.
My mom is a nurse at a small hospital in Nowhere, Kansas. The following is her account. My mom was sitting at her desk, tiredly looking at the paperwork in front of her. She was pregnant, exhausted, and her feet were killing her. As she started daydreaming about taking a nice warm bubble bath, she saw a shadow of a woman shuffling down the hall. She looked at the nurse across from her. Did you see that? Looking puzzled, the other nurse nodded. My mom got up to see if the woman needed help. As she rounded the corner, she witnessed the lady vanish. Confused, she searched all the empty rooms and made sure every patient was accounted for. When she got back to her desk, the nurse across from her said, "I think we just saw a ghost." And the hospital legend goes that a mother died during childbirth and her spirit still wanders the halls trying to find her baby.
Oh my God. I can't wait. I wonder if she showed herself to your mom, because wasn't your mom pregnant in the story?
I miss that.
She was pregnant, exhausted, yes, from working on her feet all day.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh.
Oh.
Mama.
Oh, I hope she finds her baby. Mama.
Was she pregnant with you?
Oh. That would make sense, David.
David's the one that has like all the brothers in the light, not the samurai sword or whatever, yes, it was from underneath the bed.
Yes.
Fucking hilarious.
The next one is called The Lantern. It would only be fair that I also tell my dad's ghost story. My dad is a farmer in the same small town of Nowhere, Kansas. Is that a real place?
I don't know. Or is David just like saying Nowhere, like, Kansas? Nowhere, just fun bumfuck Kansas.
I bet it's a town.
We'll have to Google it.
The following is his account. It was dusk and my father had just finished harvesting for the day. He stepped down from his combine and cracked his neck, taking in the beauty of the fields before him. He wiped some sweat from his brow and was going to head back to the farmhouse when he noticed a mysterious bobbing light approaching. Concerned, he ran towards it, thinking someone needed help. As he neared, he realized it was an unconnected gas lantern floating on its own.
What the fuck?
What the fuck? Creeped out, he rushed back to his combine and drove off. In the rearview mirror, he could see that the lantern was still heading towards him. He got the fuck out of there.
Imagine being in the combine and looking back.
And it's just like bobbing its way.
Oh my God. It's like Scooby-Doo.
That is Scooby-Doo. Whoa. The next one's called Dreams Do Come True. The next story is an account from my brother, Michael. Oh, A-L. We're wondering how to spell Michael today. And Taylor's like, hold on one second.
Hi, Siri. What's Michelangelo's name?
I said Michelangelo is one word. We're never going to find the right spelling. What's the American version of Michael?
I don't know why in my head. Right. I don't know why in my head I was thinking Michael space Angelo. I don't know why. I literally know that that is not fucking Michelangelo.
That is hilarious.
So this story is from Michael. My brother had a nightmare in which a steel bar had crashed into his pickup window, piercing my other brother who was sitting on the passenger side.
Oh my God, I hate dreams like that.
He brushed it off as a silly dream and told his friends about it when he got to school. A few days passed and my two brothers were headed to church for the evening service. Michael got a text from an unknown number that said his girlfriend was ill and he needed to get to her house quickly.
Oh shit.
His girlfriend had been diagnosed with cancer about a year back and had been in and out of hospital since.
Oh.
Michael dropped my brother off at the church and sped towards his girlfriend's house. On his way there, a steel bar crashed through his window and embedded into the passenger side where my other brother had been sitting just minutes before.
Oh my God.
Michael called the cops, but they couldn't find a source for what may have launched the steel bar into his window. In fact, they thought maybe my brother had done it himself as a prank.
What?
Fuck those cops. The odd thing is, someone would have had to have been driving the car for the bar to have had the momentum to pierce the seat. Who would take that risk just for a prank? Did someone hear Michael's dream and make sure it came true? What if my other brother had been in the car? In the end, it was never solved and his girlfriend wasn't ill. So who sent the text? I have chills.
Wait, I'm sorry, what?
Y'all
run that back.
Y'all did fuck around with some shit as a kid though, didn't you?
Yeah, they had like the guy that would like walk in and out.
Like they were haunted as a kid.
Yeah, they were very haunted. Wait, hold on. No, this is crazy. So no one texted?
No, his girlfriend wasn't ill. It was an unknown number that sent the text.
Oh wait, I forgot about that.
And
that's
so
like
no
one missed
knew
call.
Who it was. Yeah.
Wait, that's fucking weird.
I mean, thank God he took your brother home.
Like, wait, what if? Because my thought is I was thinking that he was going to just rush over there with the brother in the car.
Yeah. No, he took him home. Thank God.
He took him to church.
No, I think he dropped him off at home.
Oh.
Oh, oh no, he took him to church.
He took him all the way to church, because I would have been like, all right, I'm going to go with you then. I don't want to go to church. Like,
right, I would have done the same thing.
But I don't need to be there. If you don't need to be there, if you're not going, I'm not going.
Right.
So full steam ahead, brother.
Wow.
And it was all for no reason. He just got this random text message, and that's the only reason that the thing went through his... And
it's the only reason he was driving that way.
And they have no idea where it came from.
Yeah. And that's weird too, because you know that happened to Mitchell's car. A big chunk of shrapnel went right through his windshield. And Volkswagen, and a lot of newer cars too, but Volkswagen's known for their like wired windshield.
Yeah, the wired one, yeah.
And so it caught it, but it was like this close to his head, dude. He was going like 70 on the interstate. It was a piece of like guardrail.
Yeah.
And the semi truck in front of him ran it over, flipped it up with its back tire, darted out at Mitchell's face. Like, I mean, like
inches, not even that, like,
yeah,
damn.
And that crazy,
that's crazy. That I'll never forget when I was on the interstate and that fucking tire blew off the truck in front of me, bounced over the three cars and was coming right at me. And I was driving by that big, if y'all are from Tennessee, you know what I'm talking about. There's these huge white crosses on the side of the interstate. It was dark at night, so all I could see
illuminated
was the shadow of this fucking tire coming at me. It was a full tire, like a spare from a semi, coming in the white light of that cross. And I just remember looking at it and being like, oh my God.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. And then it hit me, ripped up my front bumper, flew right over top of me. If it wouldn't have caught my bumper, it would have gone through the fucking windshield
for sure.
But I was in that Volkswagen, so I'd have been totally I was in the Audi. I'd fucking you're telling me that Mitchell was fine, I'd have been fine.
Yeah. Oh my God, I'll never forget one time me and my friend, we were driving home from like, I don't know, cheer practice or something, and we hit a turkey.
Oh God, no.
And the sunroof was open and it rolled up. It rolled.
Morgan, no.
It rolled up and came in.
The dead turkey?
Yeah.
Was it dead?
Dead.
Thank God it was dead.
Yeah.
Because that would have been...
That was crazy.
Did you take it home in a buggy?
No. We panicked. We just sat there for like... We pulled over and just like sat there for like a good 30 minutes. I mean, got out of the car, but just like... Look, I just remember like looking at each other like this. What the fuck?
I don't even know what to do. I would literally not know how to react.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Thank God it wasn't a moon roof.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Imagine if it was alive.
If it was, that's why I said thank God it was dead, because that would have been bad.
Yeah.
If a turkey was just in the car after you hit it panicking.
Yeah.
Poor thing. It'd have been injured as shit too.
Yeah, it got knocked dead for sure.
Yeah. Well, that's good that it... quick.
Yeah, now I have a hard time. I don't even have a sunroof in this car. I was like, I don't even want one.
I don't even want to look at a sunroof ever again.
Okay, the next one is nursery tales. These last stories are two tales from my brothers Andrew and Paul, and both involve nursery monitors.
Okay.
Andrew's baby started crying for the third time that night. He tiredly got up, rubbing his eyes, and looked at the baby monitor. He smiled, seeing in the video feed that his wife was already in the nursery soothing their baby. He decided he would get up and see if she needed any help. As he walked down the hall, he was surprised to see his wife coming up the stairs. He looked at her inquisitively and said, "Weren't you just in the nursery?" She said, "No, I was downstairs and was just headed up to check on him." Andrew quickly ran into the nursery to make sure their child wasn't being kidnapped.
Yeah, literally.
As he entered the room, nobody was there, and in the crib calmly slept his baby boy. Andrew likes to believe that they have a friendly ghost who likes to check in on their kid, but I find it creepy and don't get a lot of sleep when I stay over.
Oh.
And a very quick tale from Paul. Paul was sitting in his bed reading as he started to hear someone singing a lullaby from the baby monitor on his bedside dresser.
So he gets underneath his bed and he pulls out his sword for the second time, because it was Paul.
He looked at it oddly and got up to check on his baby to find no music playing in the nursery. The monitor, however, continued to play the lullaby. Was it a glitch? Had someone hacked it? Or was it a ghostly song being picked up on the monitor?
Oh! Wow.
Well, that was really long as well. Sorry about that. Thank you for reading. If you don't read this on your podcast. Also, I was too scared to call Susan, so I didn't. Love you both. Bye.
David. David.
David.
David. No, you have to call.
I mean, it's just like one time, David.
I was just watching Schitt's Creek the other night.
I watched it on the plane. That episode, actually.
Listen, I need... You just call fucking Susan.
Call her.
She's
for
Susan.
For multiple things. You and gather up the boys.
Gather up Michael, Paul. What's the other one's name?
Andrew?
Andrew. No.
Andrew.
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 All of them.
Get their ass to Knoxville. We'll host.
Right now. We will host. Tell Paul to bring the sword.
Immediately.
Immediately.
Oh, that's crazy. Thank you so much, David. That's fucking crazy. Call Susan.
David, sorry we told 50 stories within years again. It's just because you're a boy.
I know. We get so excited. Embarrass ourselves.
Love having you guys here. It's so fun. People are like, y'all are the biggest man haters. We're really not.
We love boys.
We love boys.
We're crazy.
They're fun. Okay, thank you so much, David. The next one we have is from Brooke using she, her pronouns, and the title is Dream Creepy Account. Did my grandfather try to tell me that my aunts killed him? LOL, who knows?
Oh my God. No, that sounds so familiar.
It doesn't matter.
I think we might have read this.
Yeah, we maybe read it on, but it wasn't in the folder that we put them all in.
We didn't read this.
Okay, maybe we skimmed through it and we were like, let's save it for the main one. Because we did do that with a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, hi my loves. My name is Brooke Morgan. I'm a PA girly too. Woop,
woop.
Woop, woop. Woop, this podcast is my saving grace. I literally listen daily and re-listen to older episodes because I just love y'all so much. You said you all, but immediately my southern brain's like, y'all, yep, exactly. So this is going to be a story about dreams I had of my grandfather after he passed away. By the way, I'm literally going to type this like I'm talking to you all. So I'm so sorry if things don't make sense, but I have a feeling that our brains work similar. LOL, good luck. Okay, so a little backstory. I was not close at all to my grandfather at the time of his passing. I still hold a lot of guilt for not trying to build a relationship with him, but my aunts ruined it. They would tell us, me, my mom, dad, and sister, stories that really just made us not want to associate with him. Keep this in mind while you're reading the rest. My aunts also controlled everything of his, including his finances. So at the time of his passing, I'm like 18 or 19. He passed away from sepsis. My aunts knew that he was sick at the time with a cold. One night, my dad got a call from my grandfather's friend saying that she hadn't heard from him for a few days and that it was unusual. This then led to my dad checking up on him and him contacting my aunts to check on him. To save time, this led to my grandfather being transported to the nearest hospital. There, the doctors were confused on how he was still responsive with how high his blood sugar was. Eventually, he was transported to another hospital where he was put on a vent. Ultimately, the decision was made to end life support. So that's kind of a very small piece of backstory. Anyways, after his funeral, I started having dreams and he would appear. At first, it was like the time when I was younger and memories would replay from when I was younger and close to him. Now that I'm saying it, it's kind of weird, haha. Then the dreams started to get odd. He would tell me that there was something I needed to know and I would ask, but then I would wake up. Finally, one night in my dream, he appeared again and told me that my aunts were the reason that he was dead. I had two more dreams like this and never dreamed of him again. So weird. Maybe it was all in my head and resentment about my aunts. Who knows? I sometimes do believe that they played a part in his passing, but I don't know the motive. They already had his money and house. What more could they want? Creepy. LOL. Side note, my mom and sisters also had dreams of people in our lives that have passed away. My sister's story is short, so I'll give you that one too. My dad's best friend had passed away right before my sister took her NCLEX exam. He came back to her in a dream and wished her good luck and said that she would pass it. The next day, she passed her exam.
Aww.
I am so, so sorry for how long this turned out to be. I hope you guys read this, and if you do, here are some cute pictures of my puppy dog, Sully, and my new newly adopted kitten.
I'm moving to the email.
Carini?
Karina?
Carini?
Carini?
Yeah, Carini. The last picture is my boyfriend ignore his hair when I asked if he secretly loves your podcast. I knew he did. LOL. Wait, I have to go look.
I'm looking. Oh, cutie. Oh, my God.
Let me see. Why? Wait, I'm looking right now. Oh, look at these babies.
Oh, the sun's in their eyes.
Oh, my goodness. Ooh, look at your kitty cat. Oh my goodness, how nuggly. Look at those little toe beans. Oh my goodness.
Oh,
oh my God, your boyfriend, you were his hair. Look at him holding his key cat. So sweet.
You can't make fun of her boyfriend's hair.
Oh, she said, she said, ignore his hair. And I said, oh my God, yeah, his hair.
Oh my God. You just thought it was, holy shit, you just, dude. You just making fun of her boyfriend's hair?
I thought
bragging. Just
no, it's there. I just went and looked.
The last picture is of my boyfriend. Ignore his hair. I had to look at his hair. That was the first thing I was excited to look at. I'm sorry.
Well, I saw it too, but I wasn't going to say anything. And then you said it, and I was like, oh my God. Okay, we're going there.
We're fucking telling her that his hair looked fucking crazy.
Wow. Okay. All right. Moving on from that.
Going on. Moving on. Moving on.
Wait. I love. Wait. Speaking on the story, though,
I'm sorry. I already forgot the story. I had the cats and the dogs and now they're here. I've already forgotten your story, but let me just do a little. Jesus Christ.
Grandfather. The grandpa. Sepsis.
Yeah.
I think what he probably meant, because I don't think you can't actually give somebody sepsis from a cold. But maybe like lack of like medical treatment, like he was getting ill and they were like, you're fine, dad.
Yeah. Thinking that, you know, that a cold was just a cold. And we always kind of have that like, oh, this boy's got a cold, you know, it like especially dads. If dad gets a cold, Jesus Christ, like the world's ending. So it, you know, not I'm not like placing blame. That's why I'm saying that like, I understand that that would have happened. So maybe he holds like a little resentment if this is his spirit versus you coming. You know, you thinking of it because you are, he's on your mind a lot at that point in time. And then it goes away eventually.
Yeah. And they fucked you guys over.
Yeah. And like, also you can manipulate your dreams. Like me and Morgan talked about last time. Like you can be like, let me replay.
Yeah.
Let me fall back into it. Let me pick up where
I do
off.
That all the time.
Yeah.
I'm like, let me go back. But this time I'm not doing that.
But this time.
Let's try it a different route.
Yeah. Let's change that. It literally, I love that. That's my favorite part about dreaming.
Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you so much, Bestie.
The next one we have is from Caroline using she, her pronouns. Title, this is clickbait.
Yes.
The time I met my great grandfather 20 years after he died.
Okay, Caroline.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Hey, ladies. I'm back with a round two. I was listening to Mark Lifling.
Oh, my God. Hello.
I was listening to March Creepy Accounts. And when I heard dreams, I knew it was my time to shine. I previously submitted a creepy account about the trigger warning kid who murdered his mother with a sledgehammer.
Oh, yeah.
Throughout that creepy account, I mentioned that my family constantly has insane dreams, like my mom dreaming about celebrities and then passing away soon after. However, these two stories are about me and how I met my great grandfather 20 years after he died, and then my great aunt and an encounter she had with him as well. To this day, she swears it wasn't a dream, but I want to see what y'all think.
Okay.
First, some backstory on my papa, Bill.
Oh.
He was a classic Southern guy that was a fire chief in Georgia near Atlanta. He suddenly died in his late 50s when my mom was in high school. Fast forward to when I was about 10 years old, which would be 2008, about 20 years after he died. I was asleep in my room at our new house that we had lived in for about 2 years at this point. In this room, I slept on a queen size bed positioned in the middle of the room with my bedroom door to the left and a window to the right. This is if you're looking at the room as if you're seated in the bed. Attached is a very crude drawing of the layout.
Okay.
I woke up and got the feeling that someone was watching me. When I woke up, I was lying on my left side and felt this presence on my right side closest to the window. When I think back to this moment, I think that I was uncomfortable with the feeling that someone was in my room, but I know for a fact that I was never scared. In fact, I felt almost comforted. I don't know. It's hard to describe. I finally worked up the nerve to roll over and try to see if anyone was actually at the foot of my bed. That way, I could know if I needed to hide under the blanket so the ghost couldn't get me, because those are the rules. Those are the rules. Those if you're under the blanket, you're untouchable.
You're safe.
Or if I could just go back to sleep. When I rolled over, I saw this tall, lanky man standing at the foot of my bed. He was wearing this wide-brim hat, jeans, a white t-shirt, and I swear I smelled cigar smoke. Like I said, I felt comforted. I could tell this person, or whatever it was, knew me and was there to watch over me and protect me. I turned so I could reach over to turn on a lamp so that I could see this person better, but when I turned back, he was gone. I sat there for a few moments to take in what happened, and then I went back to sleep. I hadn't told the story to anyone in my family, mainly because, frankly, I wasn't sure if it had actually happened or not. But one day, a couple of years later, my mom was telling me about this crazy dream she had. For some reason, I decided to tell her what happened that night, and her first words were, "You're lying.
Oh my God.
You've been talking to your brother about when that happened to him, and now you're making fun of me because it happened to me too."
What?
That's when I stopped, because how had I not heard about this before? According to my mom, when my brother was really little, in years before I was born, he said he had a figure appear in the middle of the night, but it had no discernible features. Then a few years before it happened to me, my mom said the same thing happened to her, but she could see a little more than my brother and could tell that it was a man and could feel in her gut that it was her grandfather. We thought this was sweet and knew he was watching over us. However, fast forward to like 10 years later, and my mom's cousin got super into preserving our family history. He made a Facebook page and everything, and one of the posts was pictures of my branch of the family tree. My mom and I were casually scrolling through the photo album when I yelled at her to stop scrolling. One picture, which I attached, is of my papa by himself when he was much younger. I stared at this picture with my jaw to the floor because that is who I saw that night. The exact outfit and everything. She called my grandmother, who then said that she had never seen that picture of her father before, and neither had her sister.
Oh my God.
This is when I learned from my mom that my papa loved to smoke cigars and that they were always very fragrant. Fragrant.
Fragrant.
This is when I learned from my mom that my papa loved to smoke cigars and that they were always very fragrant. I knew for a fact that he was there to visit me that night, and that was his way of introducing himself to me.
Aww.
Now for my great aunt, and this one is shorter, I promise. My great aunt is my grandmother's sister, and Papa is their dad. A couple of years ago, my whole family had gotten together for a vacation, and one of the nights, my great aunt was telling us something that happened to her regarding their dad a few weeks before. She said that she had woken up in the middle of the night and that she heard someone knocking at the front door. She got up and went to answer it, and it was her dad standing there. He had passed away 30 years ago at this point.
Oh, wow.
She invited him in, and they sat in the living room. She had tried to give him a hug, and he politely said, "No, don't touch me."
Oh.
They started talking, and she had asked about her mom, who had also passed away at this point. He responded with, "Mama's doing well, and how's sis?"
Okay.
And my aunt responded that everyone was great. They sat and talked some more until my aunt said, "Hey, Daddy, you look cold. Can I get you some coffee?" He said that he would love some, so she went into the kitchen to make them both a cup. When the coffee finished, she came back out, and he was gone. For some reason, she didn't think much of this, just assumed he needed to leave, so she set the cups on the coffee table and went back to bed. When she woke up the next morning, she initially thought that it was a dream. That is until she walked out into the living room. Sitting on the coffee table were two cups, both full of now cold coffee.
Oh my God.
I get mixed opinions on whether she was dreaming and sleepwalking or if Papa actually came to check in that night. But one fact remains. My aunt has never been known to sleepwalk before and hasn't since. So what do you think? So sorry once again that these were long, but I knew that you needed to read them. I also attached a picture of my papa and mama with my grandmother and her younger sister when they were younger. Thank you, ladies, so much for this podcast and for all the laughs. Love y'all.
Love you.
Caroline? Do you have the pictures?
Yeah. Caroline, you probably saw me quietly giggling to myself when Morgan was reading, but it's because I came across your drawing that you wrote.
It was so Taylor. That's so Taylor.
This is so me. It's hilarious.
That is so Taylor.
Look at this shit. Go through all the pictures.
I need to see the drawing first. I almost made a comment and said, "Okay, Taylor."
Okay, Taylor.
Yeah, that's nice.
It was so me. That's literally me on anything where I need to like explain something and can't.
Is he holding a machete, Caroline?
I was wondering what that was.
A samurai sword? Has he been hanging out with Paul?
He's been hanging out with Paul, clearly.
Oh, what a cute family.
I know. Isn't that such a good, cute picture?
That's gorgeous.
I mean,
I would frame that in my house.
I want that framed. Not like I want you to have it
No,
framed.
I would frame that in my house.
Yeah, I would too. You got a good looking little family.
I don't know if it was a dream. I think that might have happened.
I think that might have happened, like 100%. And the reason why I think that is because of the coffee, of course, but for how vivid it was and like what she was experiencing and like the way that she's like, oh yeah, he must have just had to run.
Right.
I mean, it looks like he was a person who set a lot of boundaries for himself. Like, hey, don't hug me.
Right.
So, and that was like normal. You weren't, if my dad said that, I'd be like, what the fuck?
I'd have been, oh.
I don't know. My dad's not a hugger, but my dad will always hug me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If my dad was like...
My dad's also not a hugger, but he mm-hmm. always hugs me. Well,
he does side hug.
He side hugs.
Yeah, always.
And I side hug your dad. And you said... No.
I full
you
frontal
teddy
your dad.
You teddy hug my dad.
I did. Two times. Not once, twice.
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma. He sounds like he's a... Bucky just were on the phone with him earlier, and he sounded like he was literally voicing... For Adam Sandler movies. Like, that's literally what he sounded like trying to say Oklahoma.
He's so funny.
Oklahoma. Okay, wait. Sorry, Caroline. Yeah, I really think that he is like a really active spirit, which is interesting because yeah. I wonder if you guys like have a more spiritual touch in your family. I mean, obviously you do. I mean, I'm reading this.
Yeah.
You guys are in tune with something and in some way. But like, I wonder what it is about his spirit. Like, yeah. is he just like,
and
I'm not leaving.
I also wonder if your great aunt like needed some sort of closure, like if she was going through a tough time.
Yeah.
And he was just like popping in. How's
just,
mom?
Like giving that vivid
mom.
Of an experience.
How's mom's great? How's sis doing?
Yeah. So sweet.
It's so sweet.
I would literally pass out. Thank you so much for sending that in.
Thanks, Caroline.
The next one we have is from Seth using he, him pronouns.
I'm so excited for this.
Title is Yahoo. Seth's Yahoo. Dream. Seth, the it doesn't say that it was from you. It says you.
I told him that.
From Oh, yeah. You told him on the mini.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to read his, but we didn't because we wanted to save it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just like spam.
Yeah.
What kind of email like, do you have, man?
I don't know how we fix that, but I'm really
we would
scared
like
that
help
we've
you.
Missed a lot.
Like, I know.
Okay. Hello, darlings. I need to preface this dream with the fact that I have never cheated on my wife. Hold up.
That's
Sherry?
This is exactly what I read, and I said,
We have to press pause. Okay. I'm going to copy and paste my dream from my dream journal because as soon as I woke up, I typed it all down. After you read the dream, I'll tell you more. So here's the entry from my journal. 9/5/2021. I had this dream that I was at this nightclub / movie theater and it was filled with beds. There were several women there and they were fighting and shoving one another. Seth, what the fuck? I moved beds because they kept getting in the way and I couldn't see the movie. And several times they got shoved into me.
Oh, you're pissed.
So I moved to another bed and there is a woman there with this distorted, ugly face, but a sexy body. I unzipped my pants and she pulled off her panties. Where the fuck is this going?
Where are we going?
I cuddled up behind her and we started having sex. I felt guilty in the dream because I felt like Sherry had just left the movie theater and I was afraid that she would come back and see this woman. Then this thought came into my head. This is like those other two girls that you slept with in Texas. Then I started having a panic attack because it seemed like this was more of a memory that I had suppressed and I hadn't thought of in a while. I started breathing really fast, shallow breaths, and then I woke up. Dream over. Here's the strange part. I woke up with this feeling that these two girls in Texas were real. That I now have this false and very fuzzy memory of sleeping with two girls while living in Texas. Now I can't sleep. I decided to type this dream out, and as I'm scrolling to the bottom of these notes, I noticed that my last entry is from exactly 1 year ago. That's odd. And it has similar details. People shoving me and cheating on Sherry while I lived in Texas. Is this some sort of alternate reality or glitch in the Matrix or something? I swear to God, I am so tripped right now. End of journal. So you Wow. literally are typing this in the middle of the night. Okay. So first of all, I lived in Texas for 10 months, about 6 months after I started dating Sherry. And we would see each other on the weekends. Again, I've never slept with anyone while dating or married to her. She knows this story, Andrew. Thank God,
Seth.
Did
she listen to this and it caused a big something?
I was going to
be like, Sherry, I'm so sorry.
Listen,
he paid us.
Listen,
he emailed us at Yahoo and he paid us.
Listen, I was literally just thinking, Seth, I think I'm going to run this by Sherry before I post this because I just wanted to make sure that she knew this before yeah. we went out there. I was totally going to tell on you and like before this even
girl
went
code.
Out. Girl code immediately. Oh God. So this dream occurred on September 5th, 2021. And I noticed that in my dream journal, I had a similar dream on September 5th, 2020. Is the shoving part of this dream some sort of indication of an alternate reality? Like in a parallel universe, I did cheat on her. I just don't understand the false/fuzzy memories. I've had a few more dreams similar to this, but none as vivid as this one. The night that it happened, I called a friend at 1:30 a.m. and I told him the whole story. I was freaking out. I would love to hear your feedback, and I really wanted to send in mine and Sherry's love story for February creepy accounts. It's just not creepy, but it's pure, but it has magic to it.
It's pure magic.
It's
we
pure
love
magic.
Adding words to sad stories.
Nicholas Sparks couldn't write this story.
Oh.
LOL, I'll send it in when you prompt it. I'm prompting it right now. Love stories for Morgan's wedding. How about the week of Morgan's wedding, since this is going to be pre-recorded? We could do two creepy accounts this month. Guys, please send it. It doesn't have to be creepy crimey.
Well, when will this come out? Will we have enough time?
This goes out, this comes out on April 1st. So that's 3 weeks to
okay.
them. 2 weeks to them. Okay, wait, you know what? Just send it in.
Just
send the fucking thing in. We'll work it out, okay? But as soon as you hear this, send it in. You got it.
Seth, I don't know. That kind of the whole glitch thing has got me twisted too.
No, I think that this is, and the fact that on the same day, like, clearly you have this dream journal, but you're only journaling dreams that are like waking you up in the middle of the night. And the only dream prior to this, the last time that you were in this dream journal that you woke up with such a heaviness about a dream, was the exact year before.
That's crazy.
Have you had since on the same day, or have they been in different places?
Yeah, because we're 2 years past that.
Yeah, now. We're like, no, that was in 2021.
Yeah,
that he had that dream.
2023.
It's 2024.
We haven't been in September.
Oh yeah, yet. You're right. It was in September. I'm like, you're wrong.
You're literally wrong. I know how to count my numbers.
Okay.
No.
Mm-mm. No. Mm-mm. It's no. Mm-mm. And me to you, Morgan, they just asked for doctors and nurses because there's a medical emergency in the plane. No. Mm-mm. That did not happen.
No. Nope.
Okay. I was going to call Sherry on your ass, number one. Number two, I need to know what the stories have been like of these dreams. Is it on the same date? Because if that's the case, what is that lining up to in your astrological chart? Because
good fucking call.
Woo! Mm-mm. Mm-mm, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Seth, Jesus Christ, this is why he doesn't send anything. He disguises himself as Yahoo, because he could be like, I sent it in, and we're like, literally, no, you didn't. Mm-mm. Absolutely not.
Do we have permission to post this though with the girls? Are the girls gonna hear this?
The girls are not real.
No, the twins.
Oh, the twins. Stevie and Davey, are they gonna fucking hear this shit?
Do they have permission?
Said, don't let them listen to this.
We'll DM you.
Yeah, we'll DM you. Okay.
They're not real.
This is okay. In the no, astrological chart is what you're doing. Figure out what that date is for your chart, and maybe that can be like a starting place to where, because I feel like this is a bleeding of timelines more than it is anything else.
And I can't wait to email you on next September 5th.
I cannot wait to email you right after this and say prepare for the worst. Prepare for the worst, because this is the worst reading that we've ever done on one of your creepy accounts, Seth, and we're so sorry.
Love you, Seth.
Oh, love you, Seth.
Thanks for sharing. The next one we have is from Nika, she, her pronouns. Title, April 2024 dream creepy account. Sorry, guys. My eyes, we were just laughing so hard and my eyes are watering and I can't even see the screen.
We
right
had
now.
To go off mic and just cackle that one out. Oh.
Okay. All right. Oh my God. Hi, guys. My name is Nika.
Pronouns.
She, her. Yes, you may use my name.
Thank you.
And I just have to quickly. Thank you.
No. Mm-mm.
Oh my God. Hi, guys. My name is Nika. Pronouns she, her. Yes, you may use my name. And I just have to quickly say I love you both so much. And thank you for putting out all of this amazing content each week that I eat up like y'all did with those candied grapes on Ep 180. Hee
hee.
But for real, you two have wonderful energy and present the perfect combo of creepy and crimey content that itches my brain in just the right way.
Love that.
Thank you both for doing what you do. P.S. L.I.T.B. sister.
L.I.T.B.
L.I.T.B. baby. Okay, on to the creepy account content. So I have definitely some weird dream stories. I will separate them out so you can pick and choose whatever ones or one you want to read.
Okay.
Reoccurring nightmare. We'll call it Starseed? Question mark.
Let's go.
Okay, hear me out. I know the title is a little wild, but after getting interested in this kind of stuff, it has resonated with me and it makes sense to me. So I have always had overwhelming anxiety and fear of space, as well as a deep fascination and curiosity. As a kid, as a teenager, and now as an adult, I have had this reoccurring nightmare where it's mostly really strong sense of sensation. Like out of all of my senses, I'm remembering how this felt, and this was so traumatic, it's been ingrained into the deepest fibers of my being that remembers now in this life. Stay with me, ladies.
Okay, we're here.
But okay to the dream. I am in a craft. Something is going wrong. We are going so fast, and the craft is falling. The craft is failing and I am being crushed into my seat by the incredible pressure of, I don't know, like G-force.
Oh my God.
I'm not a physics inclined in this life, LOL. But the overwhelming sense of fear and doom and the feeling of how absolutely insane that pressure is, and the sense of knowing that something is going so wrong and I can't even move from my seat to do anything. I am at the mercy of the what I'm assuming is a crash or some other traumatic event. I have no visuals, only the inherent sense of what is happening and the feeling of being crushed into my seat by the force that I can't even move my eyes. Like right now I can feel it and my heart will start to race. Wild. So I don't know, maybe in another life or timeline I am crashing my spaceship, LOL. The next dream is soul contract fam visit ? This one is recent, like a few nights ago. Some people in this dream are real people, but are involved in my dream in a different role than what it is in the waking world, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like my husband in the real world, I sensed him as my dad in my dream. But, okay, so my dad, LOL weird, and I were in a suburban coming back home from grocery shopping or something mundane. We pull into our driveway up to a garage of a big house that I have never seen before, but I just know in my heart, that's my home. We go inside and I see an older teenager or maybe early 20s guy and a younger, maybe preteen, young teenage boy. I have never seen them before in my life or interacted with their energy in their waking world, but I just know they are my brothers. I can sense a lot of other people in the house and they were all family and they're all supposed to be there. Anyways, I go up to the two guys and ask them something about what do you want for dinner, and the younger one is sweet and tells me what he wants, and the older one lovingly teases me about my cooking or something silly like that. I remind him about picking up after himself or something. I don't remember a ton of little details, but what I really remember is how much love I feel from them and how much I love them too. The dream doesn't last much longer. I am hugging the older guy and the younger one goes down a hallway to his room. I remember feeling so secure and so loved, and then I wake up and I felt this overwhelming sense of loss. I am literally starting to cry right now as I write this. I miss them and they aren't even real, like in the sense that my dad in the dream is my husband in real life. I miss them and I feel so crazy saying that. They felt like the missing pieces of holes inside me that I haven't felt completed before I had that dream. Like an old wound that I've had my entire life that I thought was just my normal, and now that I've felt them filled, those wounds ache with new loss. And now I'm like Swiss cheese, missing those little punks.
Aww.
I don't know what to make of that other than maybe like my soul family or the people who I made soul contracts with were visiting me and showing me another life that we had together and giving me a gift of us being together and telling me that they haven't forgotten me. Which begs the question, where are you twerps at in this current life? What do you guys think? Am I just being weird about a random dream?
No, I think
that you're exactly right.
I think exactly what you think happened.
Yeah, these are people that are
connected to you.
Yeah.
And they came
whether in a past life
for some reason you needed to go over to that life for a bit.
Yeah.
Because it could be a parallel life, like what's going on with Seth.
Yeah.
Truly. Wow.
Crazy. The next one is sleep paralysis. I don't know, dream or experiencing something else entirely, but yep, I used to get horrible sleep paralysis when I lived in my childhood home. That only started after I had the dumb idea to play with a Ouija board in my room with my friends.
Oh my God.
Yes, now I know that was a giant mistake. But one time that it is burned into my brain is when I was probably 16. I had a stomach ache, so I went to lie down. Well, I remember coming to, and my room was pitch dark beside some of the light from the moon and the stars. Rural community, so we didn't have much light pollution. And I remember starting to freak out when I saw that the shadows in the corner of my room were darker than the rest of my room. I remember thinking, that ain't right. And then I heard disembodied echoing and distorted laughter and two distinct voices. One was a feminine voice and one was masculine.
Fuck no.
And it would move around my room. It went up to my ceiling in the corner and then traveled across to up above my head where I couldn't keep my cracked open eyes on it. I was fighting for my life, trapped inside my body, and I felt this overwhelmingly frightening dread crushing my chest. It felt as if I didn't snap out of it soon, I would fall further and further into myself where I would no longer exist or be able to be conscious or in control of my body.
Oh my God.
The laughter kept crawling around the room until I finally shook myself into motion and I basically fell out of bed and threw myself over to the wall to hit my light switch. That kind of stuff happened so often while I lived in that house until I moved out and went to college. Since then, it's been years. Thank you guys for reading this, whether or not it makes on the pod or not. I'm just so excited to write in. I also am sensitive and had experiences in my homes growing up, especially one that was haunted that I can write in if you want me to. This is me saying I will def write in and for sure may creepy accounts.
Oh yeah.
Love you ladies, sending love and light. LITB.
LITB. Okay queen, that's crazy.
That's nuts.
The crawling around laughed.
No, the distorted laughter. I literally pictured that whole thing.
Yeah, I can't even.
And I know that exact feeling of like you're so panicked that you are like, I'm trapped in this.
Yeah.
And I'm going to forget who I've been there before.
I've been there too.
And I'm like, I don't know what's going on, who I am.
Know who I am, where I'm going, what the fuck's going on. That is the
scariest
worst.
Feeling ever.
Yeah, it is. The last one we have today is from Morgan using Morgan.
Yeah, I did write this one in, guys. You're welcome.
Morgan using she, her pronouns. The title is Dream Creepy Account, Reoccurring, Terrifying, Murderous Troll Dad.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, besties. This is Morgan, she, her. You can use my name. And I...
My pants are up Dude. To my titties.
What are... They're literally touching your nipples right now.
What is going on?
How did
on?
They get so far?
Like, I have to have the biggest wedgie and not even know.
Dude... How is your butt crack right now?
I have to stand up.
Right now. Hi, besties. This is Morgan. She, her pronouns. You can use my name. And I love your podcast. Thursdays are my favorite days now because of y'all. I recommend you to everyone that I talk to, LOL. And I feel like I'm literally talking to my friends in my car. Anyways, okay, love all this. By the way, I don't think I've been responding to everyone's little sweet comments like I normally do. Thank you to everyone that says the sweet stuff. I love hearing it.
That is so sweet.
It's just so sweet. Okay. Anyways, I will start off by saying I grew up in a big yard in Massachusetts. Okay, in Massachusetts in the middle of the woods. My summers were spent outside with my sisters playing and my dad in a chair outside with a beer, of course, if he wasn't doing yard work or something else. This is important to the story to paint the scene. So it starts off as my dad hanging out in the chair with a beer and my sister and I playing in the yard on the swing set. He eats some mushroom growing in our yard for whatever reason and then he gets sick. He progressively turns into this evil troll that is trying to murder my sister, mother, and I.
Oh my God.
Holy fuck. When this dream started occurring, I was probably 8, and there was no reason I would create this image of my father trying to kill me. Anyways, he eats the mushrooms and starts transitioning into a troll. I then run inside to try and lock him outside by slamming the door shut behind me. He proceeds to come inside somehow and chase me around the house, trying to kill me, making troll noises, LOL. Eventually, I run upstairs to my parents' bedroom and tell my mom what's happening. She goes all superwoman and rips the mattress off the bed and puts me and my sister on it. We then use the mattress to slide down the stairs and then run over my dad with it.
That's hilarious.
That is the best mattress surfing story. Mom turns into superwoman.
You guys are
so much adrenaline
up there.
That's exactly what I was thinking. You must have just watched Princess Diaries. We then run out the door that's in front of the stairs and wait in my front yard for the police to come. That's where it ends, just waiting outside. I had this dream several times, and every time I had it, I knew it was a dream, but I also knew that I had to go through the whole thing. The fact that it kept happening should have made the fear of someone right on your heels less scary, but it didn't. I would always wake up with my heart pounding like I was actually running around my house. I haven't had the dream in a few years, but obviously I remember it vividly. I am now 24 years old, and I probably haven't had this dream since I was 12 or younger. I hope this writing doesn't bring it back into my brain because I will not be happy. I've never told anyone about this dream, so you guys are special.
Oh.
When I heard Taylor say that she wanted dreams sent in for the next creepy account, I knew I had to write it in. If this makes it to the podcast, I'll die, but I want to hear what you guys have to say.
She would probably die.
Probably die.
Taylor says immediately she dies.
Immediately dead. The troll got her. But I want to hear what you guys have to say about it. It's kind of funny, but absolutely terrifying and so weird that it would keep happening. This is so long and I'm going to end it here. Thanks, besties. XOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXOXO
fucking craziest. And they never, like, I always lose my
stomach in one of my reoccurring dreams where I'm in a Snow White outfit on a four wheeler and I jump over a big hump, fall down.
Like mine, I know that I have to drop down to the next level to wake up.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm being chased by something. Single time I'm like, he's so close.
Literally, and I know I'm going to get there. Yeah. I know that it's going to be okay. I'm going to, you know, after I fall or when I'm on my flying saucer reoccurring one, I know that it's me going past a tree on my left.
Right. Yeah, I have dreams like that too where I know what's happening. Like, yeah. I immediately know what's going to happen next. Yep. I know that it's a dream.
But I still feel the thrill of it in the dream. Like, I still feel the same thrill that I had from that dream the first time I had it when I was young on both of them. Like, I'm excited.
Yeah.
What?
Nothing.
Oh, I thought you were going, shh, shh.
Oh, no.
I was like,
you know what? You know, you've seen on.
You know, when you. You when
have you seen on TikTok, like. Okay, this is one of my biggest fears.
Okay,
and I've got this from TikTok. I didn't even know it was a thing. There's a lot of times where I recognize that I'm in a dream state. And right. I know consciously that I'm dreaming.
Oh, I know what you're about to say to me.
And how they say, like, if you ask someone, stop someone in the dream and say, what's today's date?
Yep.
Or what time is it?
Yep.
or like something like that.
Like, where are we at?
Yeah.
You just know it, like, it's got to be something. Am I like, dreaming or like,
no, it's like, what's today's
date? Yeah. What's it like? You say something though that is routine that you have thought of prior to your dream, like what you're, but I mean, I guess it could
but
be
like,
anything.
I'm
yeah,
so
I know
scared that I'm going to accidentally do something.
I
like
think
that.
The same thing. Every time I see those videos, I scroll right past them because I'm too. Like, my ass is going to walk into my dream and be like, let's just see if it's real.
What's today's date, ladies? Yeah. And they're all the ladies' heads turn like this.
And they're like, how did you know that?
Yeah.
And then there, or one in some instances, people will run up to you and be like, don't say that again. Go with the flow.
Yeah.
Yeah. They can't know. And there's like, you see people turning and looking at you like they're agents, like undercover.
Ew.
Can't be a
That's
part of it.
That's the scariest thing
don't
ever.
Don't want it.
Well,
this is my favorite.
Let's do it every.
I know.
I
dreams.
Wish I had a dream special.
I know. We should just start doing a dream special. Okay, but what do we want next month? Because it's going to be May, creepy accounts. This is April, creepy accounts. You'll just be getting back from your honeymoon. We're recording that. The next creepy account episode is scheduled to be recorded
the
day that she gets back from her honeymoon.
Second day.
Well, like, not the day of, but like the, you know, 2 days. But like, so that way we can talk about the honeymoon then. And then I'll edit it on Wednesday. It goes on Thursday. So it can be love stories. It could be.
I like love stories.
I like love stories. I think that's fun.
Yeah.
But I'll give you also an alternative. Because we did stories for another time and dreams in this one. So let's do love stories and or like sweet accounts. Sweetie accounts. Sweetheart yeah. accounts.
Nice ones.
Yeah. Just like let's. You know, it can be scary a bit, but like I like these loved ones coming to visit me and it being so vivid and stuff mm-hmm. like that. I love that. So it's technically still dreams, but let's just do love.
Yeah.
I know we were going to do that for February. It didn't work out. Seth, be the ringleader here.
And if you think that your dream account like might actually like fit this profile for next month, that it's lovey and it's mm-hmm. sweet, and then copy and paste your email and resend it with a new title.
Yeah. And say, May creepy account 2024. Read this, you motherfucking bitch.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. All right. Well, we got Cheesecake Factory, so we'll see you bitches later.
We will talk to you soon. Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.